listening to the U Urban Bible Study Weekly Leaders Training Podcast. The U curriculum is especially created by and for urban and multi-ethnic churches. This podcast is designed to help leaders lead a Bible study using Lifeway's U Urban Bible Study resources. Each week, we examine the biblical passage, review some questions teachers may face, and give a practical teaching tip. I'm Dr. Mark Crosston, General Editor for the U Bible Study, and today I'm joined by Brenda Crosston, one of our Lifeway Women trainers. Hello, Brenda.
Hi, Mark. Thank you for having me back with you guys for session three. Jesus gave me grace and forgiveness. Our lesson is coming from the book of John, chapter 8, verses 2 through 11. This is an amazing story where a woman's caught in adultery. She's brought to Jesus, and he gives exactly what our title says, grace and forgiveness. So we're looking forward to discussing the point that Jesus took my guilt and set me free.
All right. So in these encounters with Jesus, here's the question for today. How does the forgiveness of Jesus give us freedom? How does the forgiveness of Jesus give us freedom? Let's look at chapter 8, starting in verse number 2. At dawn, he went to the temple again, and all the people were coming to him. He sat down and began to teach them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, making her stand in the center. Teacher, they said to him, this woman was caught in the act of committing adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. So what do you say? They asked him this to trap him, in order that they might have evidence to accuse him. Wow. So here's our first point. Only Jesus can forgive sin. Only Jesus can forgive sin. So there it is that they are here. They've found this woman in the act of adultery. Interesting, they only bought the woman. Takes two to tango, right? And they bring up this issue of the law of Moses. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. And so now they're asking him in order to make a trap of him. And so ultimately, just one great thing to remember in the midst of this is that only Jesus can forgive our sin. And so they brought her to the right place. They brought her to Jesus. They didn't bring her for the right reason. They brought her to accuse her. But the wonderful thing we know about Jesus is that he forgives our sin. What are you thinking, Brenda?
Yeah, another great story. Jesus had angered them being the Pharisees and the Sadducees, all the religious folks. He had angered them in chapter 7 because he stands up on the last day of the feast and starts teaching. And he uses language out of Isaiah 55:1 about being able to feel the thirst of people. And so, you know, it's this God language. And so they're super, super angry, and they're coming. They're really bringing this woman because they want to get Jesus, right? And it just evidences the point that he is Jesus and is the only one that can forgive sin. He comes to the temple after the feast, but that means that everybody is there, that he's going to have this huge audience. He's going to have this huge audience to watch him forgive the sins of this woman. And it is just him building on that foundation, helping them to believe that he's the one. He's the only one that can fulfill sin. And so though the men were using this woman, they didn't realize that Jesus was using them too to help identify him as the one who could heal sin.
So often people want to hold our sin against us, hold it over our heads. They want to accuse us of whatever the sin is. But remember, encounters with Jesus bring us forgiveness and freedom. Only Jesus can forgive our sin. But in order to have that to be the case, we must admit that we have sinned. So admit that you have sinned. Let's look at this second section, starting at 6b. Jesus stooped down and started writing on the ground with his finger. When they persisted in questioning him, he stood up and said to them, "The one without sin among you should be the first to throw a stone at her." Then he stooped down again and continued writing on the ground. When they heard it, they left one by one, starting with the older men. Only he was left with the woman at the center. So just a couple things to think about here as we think about, you must admit that you have sinned. One, it's so much easier to point out other people's sin than to admit our own. And here Jesus turns this around on them, and without dismissing what they said yet, he simply says, "All right, the one of you without sin should cast the first stone." And then notice that they started to leave one by one. Notice this, starting with the older men, right? So you got the longer track record. Those with the longer lives also have a longer history of sin, right? So it's interesting that they started with the older ones and down to the younger ones. And until only the woman was left, but note this, she was left in the center. Hold on, right? When everybody was surrounding her, it was obvious what the center was. It was the center of the crowd. But now it says she is left in the center because she is the center of Jesus's attention. She's not the center of the crowd anymore. She is the center of Jesus's attention. And so God wants to bring us to a place where we are, where we recognize we are the center of his attention. And there, then we must admit our own sin, our own sinfulness, if we want God's freedom and his restoration. What are you thinking, Brenda?
I'm thinking that I don't know what to say to that. That was pretty thorough, right? Except that I want to challenge the teachers. This isn't a teaching tip, but I want to challenge the teachers to do some research on what some theologians believe that Jesus wrote on the ground. It's going to make all the difference in your teaching. I'm telling you. So I won't spoil it for you, but do that. Whatever he wrote on the ground, though, I think also, the older men left first because they were wise. They were wise, like, oh, we're not going to try to accuse this woman anymore. We are out of here. I love the Bible. It has the best stories. Get that picture in your head. They're all surrounding her. They're ready to stone her. Jesus stoops down, writes on the ground, doesn't say a word to them, stands up, and the older men, the ones with wisdom, say, you know what? Never mind. And they not only, so the point is to admit that you're sinning. And so I think this is my deductive reasoning. I think that they had to admit what the real sin was. It wasn't just that you were bringing this woman. It was that you were trying to trap Jesus. And so in their hearts, their sins probably were first and foremost, or at the forefront of their hearts and minds, but also what they were doing right then. They had to admit that it was a sin, it was wrong. And so they cast their stones, the physical stones that they had for this woman, and those spiritual stones that they had for Jesus. They had to cast them down and admit that it was wrong.
All right. So ultimately, Jesus offers grace. Jesus offers grace. Let's look at verses 8, 10, and 11. When Jesus stood up, he said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, Lord," she answered. "Neither do I condemn you," Jesus said. "Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." And so, in the midst of this encounter, Jesus offers grace. Jesus wants to bring us to a point where we recognize where we are, our sinfulness, but he doesn't bring us there to squash us and condemn us. And maybe this has been, this is not just a problem of the Pharisees and scribes in the text. This is also the problem of many Christians in the church today, right? We too often want to squash people when we think they're sinners. But Jesus offers grace. Jesus offers grace and the redirection of transformation. Huh? So Jesus transforms our lives and then redirects us. And so he says to the woman, "Look, I don't condemn you, but look, don't go back into the same thing you've been doing all this time. Instead, go and sin no more." Grace and redirection into a new destiny is what he offers this particular woman. What are you thinking, Brenda?
Yeah, that's good stuff. In the last lesson, one of the last things we heard was Jesus saying that I'm only doing what the Father's doing. I'm doing what I see him doing. And I think this is another reminder and a good way to close out the lesson that Jesus offers grace. Jesus offers grace. And so in our day-to-day relationships, in our ministering to other people who are fallen, we have to offer grace, because often the reason why people are finding themselves in sin over and over again is because they've been traumatized and they've had changes in their brains that are causing them to do this. And so we have to not automatically assume the worst, but we have to offer grace and walk with them, or stoop with them, or right on the ground with them, or for them, for as long as necessary. Extending that God-like grace.
And I think this is one of the reasons why maybe in these days that we're living in, there are so many who are turning away from the church and turned off by the church. Because too often, church people forget that we are to offer grace. In fact, the Bible says, "By this will all men know that you are truly my disciples if you love one another." And so it's the whole idea of the, you know, helping people to know and see and experience the love of God that is so impactful in transforming individual lives and the culture that we live in today. All right. So if you are a Bible study teacher, I want you to hold on for just a moment, because Brenda's going to give us a powerful 1 minute teaching tip. But I want to remind everybody that you need to get your copy of the U Bible Study. You can find it at u.lifeway.com. That's you.lifeway.com. It is our urban cultural forward Bible study. It comes in paper and digital formats. It has the student guide. It has a teacher guide in the back of the book. And it has daily discipleship pages. It's what we call a 3-in-1. It comes with a leader's pack, and it aligns with our Bible Studies for Life student and kids curriculum. So there's something for everybody. All right, Brenda, give us our teaching tip for today.
All right, we're going to look at the Live It section, but this time, teachers, we're going to make this personal. Your teaching depends on you making room for the Holy Spirit. And you can only make room for the Holy Spirit by confessing the sin in your life. You're going to say, wait a minute, Brenda Michelle, I love Jesus. I am not a sinner. Of course you are. And we need confession every day. And so I'm going to challenge you the entire week leading up to teaching. Be intentional about confessing your sin. Be intentional about making room for the Holy Spirit. Be intentional about dumping out the things that would stand in the way of the Holy Spirit fully using you in the teaching moment. Because yes, it's great to study to prepare, because God is a God of order. He's a God of preparation. But there's this need in the teaching moment to surrender. And you start that surrender with confession. And so confess, 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 and watch how God moves in the teaching moment.
All right. All right. This is great. This is such a powerful and meaningful study for every single one of us. I'm sure somebody's going to be blessed as you go through this. And join us again for another You Bible Study podcast, because you never know where God will take you.